polarizing questions. Why use the phrase polarizing? Well, anything which polarizes us is something which compels us to choose a direction or think a different way, or as Webster's defines it, causes to divide into two conflicting or opposing groups. Though the choosing process may be uncomfortable, polarizing questions are necessary. It is part of how we come to conclusions. The question, how do our preferences line up with the word of the Lord, is polarizing. After the question, we must discover and assess God's preferences and standards versus our own if we are actually interested to know an answer. Even if we're not interested, within ourselves the seed is planted to choose. I suppose, though, to ask polarizing questions is more than simply posing an idea. It's asking something which pushes others to reveal their values or beliefs to one side or another. To ask someone,
do you think child abuse and murder are okay? Can we still be Christians?
That would certainly cause others to express hard line boundaries or expose some very soft boundaries, and we are typically uncomfortable when we have to expose ourselves like that. Other people may not like us or openly disagree with us, meaning our polarizing question did its job. By merely talking about Jesus to a lost and dying world is polarizing. It puts people in a position where they have to choose. In fact, many years ago, a young woman who had recently given her life to the Lord asked me,
"Why is it I can say the name of any other thing which people call God and they're fine? But the moment I say the name of Jesus, they get upset."
In the moment, the Lord spoke to me saying, "Even my name is so compelling, just by saying it out loud forces people to a place of having to choose and answer the question, where are you?
Where are you?
Where are you?
Where are you?
The name of the Lord is polarizing. With his name comes an uncomfortable question for many. Do you believe Jesus is Lord? And also an uncomfortable statement that he is God. Like saying, do you believe he is God? Yes, he is God. Ah, very polarizing indeed. In Deuteronomy 29:30, the Lord is speaking to Israel, laying out a broad view of his pursuit of the people. In chapter 30, God tells them their ability to choose is not so high they can't conclude what to do, nor is it so far away they can escape deciding because it's not necessary at this time. In other words, don't put it off like you usually do. The Lord tells them it's not a hard decision to follow after him, keeping his preferences and standards. And in my paraphrase, he's saying their answer is either a three-letter word or a two-letter word, yes or no. In 30:19, he draws it all down to some very polarizing words. He says, "I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore choose life, that you and your offspring may live." The Lord was drawing a line, asking them the same question he asked Adam and Eve in Genesis 3:9 when he called out, "Where are you?
Where are you?
Where are you?"
With the word "where" meaning more accurately, whose side are you on, mine or the enemy? In our choosing, sometimes we use false agreement just to solve an immediate problem. Like saying,
"Yes, dear,"
to your wife just to get her off your back. That's not resolution. That's just a band-aid, a false face presented in an attempt to supposedly keep the peace, when really it's not keeping the peace, it's just blowing someone off for the moment. Apologizing for something you weren't responsible for just to keep the peace isn't resolution, but only pacifies any confrontation in the moment. Asking questions almost always works better than making statements. Asking questions gives us the option of being wrong without actually putting anyone on the spot. And with a statement, we don't get that kind of coverage. A question asks for more information, leading the other person to possibly, hopefully, reason things within themselves, with their conclusion being more their idea, not us telling them an answer which we have commanded of them. These days, simply by asking some folks, "Are you male or female?" seems to be a polarizing question. The bottom line, though, is how does what we believe line up with the Word of God? If your political stance aligns you with a political party which does not adhere to God's preferences and standards, something must change for you, because the Lord's statutes and ordinances are the end-all and bottom-line. In the end, the Lord isn't going to ask you what your party affiliation was. He's going to ask you, "What did you do with my son Jesus?" Twice in Psalm 119, the writer says, after many polarizing questions to himself, he has come to a conclusion that it is life to wholly cast himself toward God and move away from death and a godless existence. In verse 30, he writes, "I have chosen the faithful way. I have placed your ordinances before me." And again in verse 173, "Let your hand be ready to help me, for I have chosen your precepts." After much deliberation, he decided that the ordinances and precepts of the Lord was the path to take. In 1 Kings 18:21, Elijah pressed the people to decide. He polarized the crowd with a question. He asked, "How long will you hesitate between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him." But the people did not answer him a word. Friends, God will not choose for us. He will present us with the right information and influence us with love and kindness, but it is our business to come to grips with the inspired word and allow it to speak to our hearts in the manner God intended. Our greatest strength is coming into the likeness of the Son, and that coming into the likeness part, yeah, right there we are constantly met with polarizing questions, which are daily, uncomfortable, yet necessary nonetheless. Be brave and audacious to ask the questions, my friend. So, what do you think? Thank you for listening. I'm Social Porter with Living in His Name Ministries.